Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
For those of you that might not know a whole lot about Joseph, let me just simply begin by telling you he is the great, great, great grandchild of Abraham, and Abraham was the father of faith. So Joseph is the great, great, great grandchild of the father of faith, whose name was Abraham. Abraham, in case you don't know much about him, Abraham was the man that God used to establish a new breed of people in the earth that was called the Jews. Abraham was a Gentile. He was not a Jew, but God made him to become a Jew by faith based on the call of God that was on his life. So in other words, God called him what he was, even though he was not. He called him that, and then he made him become exactly what he called him to be. Because if God calls you anything, that is what you are. It doesn't matter what your neighbor, your friend, your mother, your daddy, your husband, your wife, whatever God says, touch somebody, tell them, that is what so. So he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to start a new nationality out of your loins. And when he was old, and when he was, when he was old, older than dirt, when he was old, when he was practically dead, and when he was past child bearing and seed producing age, God then turned around and gave him a seed and allowed him to produce a child. Now, that seed was so powerful, despite his old age, that it was so powerful that if you look throughout the Old Testament, you will see that seed. If you look throughout the whole Bible, you will see that seed that just keeps living and living and moving throughout the entire scripture. Abraham produced the seed, and it was Abraham's son Isaac who turned around and passed on the seed. And it was Abraham's son Jacob who multiplied the seed, and he produced 12, the 12 tribes from which Joseph, the one that we're talking about, came into being. Joseph then turned around and transported the seed. He took it out of the land of Egypt over into the land of promise. And Moses then turned around and delivered the seed. Are y'all with me today? Look at somebody, tell them that was a pretty powerful seed. Joshua then turned around and established the seed. Saul was the one that began to reign over the seed. And David was the one that brought the seed back into worship. And I tell you all that because I want you to understand a little bit of the history as to where Joseph and the role that Joseph plays goes throughout the Old Testament. Joseph is one of the 12 sons of a man whose name was Jacob. And Jacob's, by the way, Jacob had 12 sons, but Joseph was his absolute favorite. There are many reasons that Joseph was his favorite. I know we're not supposed to say that that one is my favorite or that one is my favorite, but Jacob did, and he had no problem doing it. I think one of the reasons that Joseph was one of his favorite sons was because Jacob had two wives. He had a wife whose name was Leah, and he also had a wife whose name was Rachel. And then he also had a bunch of girlfriends. And so as a result, he's got a bunch of children everywhere that you could imagine. And that was okay back then, but look at somebody and say, don't even think about it right now. Do not even go there, okay? So he had a lot of children. Two of the women in his life, Leah and Rachel, they were sisters. And the minute that Jacob saw Rachel, he fell in love with her. It was love at first sight. He fell head over heels in love with her. And when he went to her father to find out what it would take to get her, her father said, you will have to work for her for 7 years. And so he worked for her, for her father, so that he would give Rachel to him. And he did it for 7 years. However, when it came time for the exchange to take place, instead of giving Rachel to him, he turns around and he gave Rachel's sister, whose name was Leah, to him. And the sad thing about it is that he married her, spent the night with her, and didn't realize that it wasn't what he had worked for until he woke up the next morning. That's a mess all in and of itself, okay? But anyway, so when he realizes that he has been duped by Laban, who is their father, he goes back and he said, "This is not what I labored for." And his father said, "Well, if you want that one, if you want Rachel, you're going to have to work for 7 more years." So he decides, you know, that's what I want and that's what I'm going to get. So if I got to work another 7 years, that's what I've got to do. Let me tell you something. He loved him some Rachel, because anytime a man will work for your father for 14 years to get you, it's a sign that he really loves you. Okay? Because some men won't work for 14 days. I'm going to keep on moving. Hallelujah. So he worked for 14 years to get the woman that he really loved. Now, the first one that he got was Leah. Leah had some physical flaws, and she was considered the uglier of the two sisters. Okay, I don't know any other way to say that, but that's what she was considered. And so he got that one first. But the thing of it is, she was a little bit not as beautiful. Let's say it like that. She wasn't as beautiful as Rachel, but she was also at the same time, she was fruitful. However, Rachel was beautiful, but she was barren. She was beautiful, but she was barren. And she began to cry out. Her sister Leah could have all kinds of babies, but she couldn't have any. And so she began to cry out to the Lord. You know, there is something that happens when you begin to really cry out to the Lord. I'm not talking about crying out to your friend, your husband, your wife, or your prayer partner, but I'm saying when you really begin to cry out to the Lord begins to hear. How many of you know that we have a hearing God? She began to cry out to the Lord. And so God opened up her womb because she cried out to him. And he gave her 2 sons. He gave her 2 sons of destiny. And their names were Joseph and Benjamin. And out of all of Jacob's sons, the ones that he had with her, the ones that he had with Leah, the ones that he had with whoever he had them with, Joseph was his absolute favorite. And he did not care if the whole world knew it. And so he showed Joseph great favor. This is the thing, however, because he showed him such great favor, Joseph was hated by his family. Because anytime you have great favor, you will also have great jealousy. So if you're not prepared for that, if you're not prepared for the jealousy that comes with it, don't ask for favor, because I promise you, anytime there is favor, the word favor itself sets you apart. It sets you aside. It reaches in and pulls you out of the clan. And so anytime there is great favor on your life, there are going to be people that are around you that will be jealous of you because they cannot handle the blessing that is on your life. I know you think everybody's happy for you, but trust me, they are not happy for you. Not even people in your family are as happy as you think that they are. The good news is it doesn't matter what they do, there is a limit on what they can do. They can take your coat, Joseph, but they can never get your favor. And that's what you got to understand. Take whatever you want. Take my, okay, you want my, oh, you want this chair? Okay, here, you can have this chair. You want this office? Great, here, take this office. Take, oh, you want my desk? Take my desk. Oh, you want my coat? Here's my coat. Take everything, but there's one thing that they will never be able to take, and that is the touch of God that is on your life. That is the favor. Look at somebody and tell them, you can't have my favor. Joseph had ridiculous favor. Okay, he had the kind of favor that was just like in your face. I mean, every time you saw him, it was just like you knew there was favor on his life. His daddy loved him more than he did all of the other brethren. And he bought him the coat, you know, the coat of many colors that we often hear stories told about. That was because of the favor that was on his life. And that coat gave him a place of distinction in the family. It put a mark on his life. His daddy gave him preferential treatment. good. And it was all, and the Bible said that he was the beloved son of Joseph. One day, Joseph goes to bed, has a dream, and he wakes up. And in his dream, what he dreamed was that all of his brothers were bowing down before him, and that they were honoring him, and that they were reverencing him, and that they were recognizing that he was somebody special. And because Joseph was innocent, and because his heart was so pure, he ran when he woke up. He ran and he told his brothers about the dream that he had just had. And he started telling them, I had a dream, and in my dream, you were bowing down, man. You were worshiping me. But see, the surprise of his life came because when he began to tell that dream, it dawned on him that his brothers were angry with his dream. They were not happy about his dream, because the Bible said, unto the pure, all things are pure. And so because Joseph was pure, he just thought, that's going to be so cool. But they did not think it was going to be quite as cool as Joseph thought it was going to be. Joseph was just pure. And when you're pure, it can leave you vulnerable. It can also leave you confused. When you are pure, you can find yourself confused from time to time, because you can walk in and say something and to different people, and it will make them mad. And you never intended one iota for them to get mad. It's just you said it, and now they're mad, and now you're confused as to why they got mad over what you said. You thought they would be happy for you. You thought they would be glad for you. You get a blessing, you go home and you tell somebody. Next thing you know, they are mad at you because you got a blessing. And it's unfortunate, but you have to remember that the minute you step on the road to greatness, number one, let me tell you this, you are always invited into greatness. You don't just show up into greatness. You are invited into greatness. So anytime, number one, that sets you apart. That means somebody else did not get invited. The very fact that you were invited in could make somebody that wasn't invited not so happy with you or for you. But the very fact that you step on the road to greatness is a sign that people are going to hate you. They're going to hate you because they don't understand you. And you're like, well, what did I do? It ain't nothing you did. That's who I'm here to preach to. I'm here to tell somebody today, quit worrying about people that hate you. You know, that kind of hatred that they may not say it out of their mouth, but when you get in a room with them, it's like, ooh, I feel it. You know what I mean? Because there is a hatred that is so real that you can feel that hatred. What did I say? It ain't nothing you said. It ain't nothing you did. They just hate you because God has chosen you and he has blessed your life. They hate you because you are making progress. You are making progress in an area where they are not hating you. I mean, where they are not making it. And because of that, they are hating you over it. And I'm telling you that because it will help you to handle, and it'll help you to cope, and it will help you to deal with those confusing signals that they give you. They give you confusing signals that absolutely go along with being favored. You get those little looks, and you get those little eyes rolling at you, and you got to know that just, tell somebody, that just comes with the turf. It comes with the turf. And if you don't know that, then you'll be stressing out, and you'll be pacing, and you'll be freaking out, and you'll be agonizing, talking about things like, Lord, why are they acting like that? They ain't never acted like that. I've known that girl all of my life, and now she's talking to me or looking at me like I am crazy. Lord, I don't even know what's up with that. Why is that woman on my job hating me like she is hating me? I have been nothing but good to her. I have been a friend to her. But hear me today. Anytime God starts blessing your life, people will start hating you because of the favor. It don't seem like it should work like that, but don't be confused, and don't be stressing out, and don't be worrying about it to the point that you can't even enjoy your favor. Just keep on walking and say, well, I hope you get over it, but I'm not about to give it up just because you don't want me to have it. And so you just got to make a decision. You got to make a decision that I'm just going to be comfortable in an uncomfortable place. I'm in an uncomfortable place, but I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be comfortable in the middle of it. You've just got to understand that being hated is a part of being blessed. I said being hated is a part of being blessed. It just comes with the turf. And Joseph found himself hated, and he didn't know why. I wish I could have told him. I wish I could have said, baby, let it roll off your back. It's going to be all right in the end. But he was hated, and he did not understand it. He didn't understand that the reason he was hated was because of what God was doing in his life. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God is getting ready to do something so big in your life that people all around you are going to hate you for it. Just keep a sweet spirit, keep smiling, keep doing what you do, and just rest assured, they can hate you, but they cannot stop the favor that God has given you. Just know this, that anytime God it gets ready to bless your life, that the enemy is always going to turn up the heat. Some of you have been wondering, like, where is this heat coming from? That heat is nothing but an indication that God is getting ready to pour you out a blessing. Anytime God gets ready to favor your life, the furnace gets hotter, the winds, they begin to blow harder, the opposition becomes stronger, because when the enemy understands that God is about to take you places that you have never been, all hell begins to break loose in your life. Principalities and powers start coming out of nowhere. Anytime I see all that stuff happening in my life, I don't panic anymore. I just stand back and say, okay, I know what this means. That means I'm about to be blessed. It is an indicator. I said, when all hell breaks loose, it is an indicator that God is getting ready to blow in your life. And you got to understand. You got to understand, when the enemy fights you, he never fights what he already has. I said he never fights what he already has. So the very fact that he's fighting you is a sign that God, he doesn't have you, number one. But number two, that God is getting ready to do something. He's getting ready to raise you up, and the devil is mad about it. I said he is mad about it. So if you have found yourself in a fight in 2013, you ought to look at your neighbor and tell him, something big is about to happen in my life. Something, y'all ain't telling nobody. Something big is about to happen. It's about to happen in my life. I feel the earth move under my feet. Something big is about to happen. Woo. God must be getting ready. He must be getting somebody ready for something in here today. I don't know. I'm looking for the section where all the ready people are. I said, because God is getting ready. He's getting ready to do something big. He's getting ready to show up in a big way. Y'all heard me say 2 or 3 weeks ago, God is going to take us into the supernatural, supernatural blessings, supernatural opportunities, supernatural favor, supernatural wisdom. Watch out. I'm telling you, all week long, that's what Dr. Winston kept saying. We're moving into the supernatural. 2014 is about to be a year of supernatural things. He's going to bless you with houses you haven't built, with wells you didn't dig. Lord, help me, Jesus. Does anybody see it? Look somebody in the face and tell him, get ready for the supernatural. God is about to make your enemies your footstool. I said he's about to make your enemies your footstool. Joseph was hated. Sit down, it's okay. Joseph was hated. He was hated, but because he was pure, he didn't understand why he was hated. Sometimes you have to be hated when you're pure. You have to be hated a long time before you really are able to figure out what's going on. You know, and sometimes you're like way over here. You're like, that hurt, but you just kept on moving because your heart is pure. Oh, that hurt, but you just kind of keep on moving. I took it from them, but Lord, I trust you, and you just keep on moving. And next thing you know, you're over here, and all of a sudden, all of those things start showing up, and you're like, God, that I was hurt then, and I was hurt there. And it ain't nothing but a sign. It's an indicator that you were able to take a licking and keep on ticking, and you kept on moving. And because you were able to do that, and you didn't stop and give up every time somebody punched you or sucker punched you, then you just kept on moving. God said, because of that, I'm going to bless your life with favor. Because you kept clean hands and a pure heart. I said, you kept clean hands and a pure David. Joseph was pure. He was very pure. If you and I've preached this here before, but for those of you that may have never heard it, I want to just give you some. I want to show you some comparisons. There is a strong comparison. If you examine the life of Joseph, you will see that really he is just a shadow of Christ himself. He is a picture of Christ in so many ways. And one of the ways that he is a picture of Christ is that he was the beloved son of his father, Jacob. Well, it was in the Jordan that when they took Jesus down into the water and they brought him up, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So number one, they are both beloved of their father. Joseph and Jesus are beloved of their father. Number two, Joseph was given that coat that gave him a mark of distinction. It set him apart from all of the other brethren that was in his life. People saw that coat on Joseph and they knew that he had been set apart. They knew that he was one of his father's favorites, and it was the coat that made the difference. Well, when Jesus was taken down into the water, into the Jordan, and they brought him up, the Father dropped a coat down on him. For the Bible said that the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and it just sat on him. And from that day forward, he was known as not just Jesus, but he was known as Jesus the Christ. He was known as Jesus the Anointed One. For from that day forward, there was an anointing that sat down upon his life. Let me tell you something. When God gets ready to give you a mark of distinction in your life, he doesn't do it by giving you a title, okay? That title doesn't actually really mean nothing. But when God gets ready to give you a mark of distinction, he does it by giving you power. He gives you anointing. He gives you authority. And when that anointing begins to rest on your life, it sets you apart from everybody else. There is just something about you. God puts that anointing on you, and it always magnifies. And in the middle of everybody, that anointing that's on your life, it's not about your title. It's about the fact that there is an anointing on you. That means God himself did it. People can't explain it. They don't understand it. Anybody that did the things you did should not be anointed, but God chose to pull you out and snatch you out and anoint. Somebody ought to thank him for choosing you. He anointed you. He was also like Christ, that when Joseph came to his own received him not. And instead of celebrating and instead of rejoicing with him, that instead of all the things that they should have done, they hated him. One of the signs, he came into his own and his own received him not. One of the signs that you are the beloved of God is when you come to your own and your own hate you. When you come to your own house and they hate you. When you come to your own family and they hate you. When you go to those that ought to be loving you, but instead they are willing and ready to cut your throat at the drop of a hat. That is a sign that the favor of God is on your life. When you go into a place that you ought to be able to rest, but now you can't rest because all of a sudden everybody's trying to nitpick and everybody's trying to destroy. Look at somebody on both sides and tell them it ain't nothing but a setup. It's a setup. It's a setup. God is setting you up. He should have been able to rest at home with his brethren, but he couldn't. Anytime you can't rest where you ought to be able to rest, it ain't nothing but a setup. I said it ain't nothing but a setup. They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to the Israelites. They turned around and sold Christ to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver. So there is, you see the comparison. I'm still comparing Joseph to Jesus. When they sold Joseph to the Israelites, they took him into bondage and they brought him into a strange land. Somebody say a strange land. They took him and they brought him into a strange land. When they sold Christ, they brought him into the Sanhedrin court and he submitted himself to the Roman powers and the Roman authorities. So now he is also in a strange land. Number six, Joseph was serving in the house. He was serving up in the house and he ends up having to go to prison. The Bible said that Joseph went down into prison. Somebody say down. Joseph went down into prison, which really is nothing but a picture of Christ going down into hell for you and for me. When Joseph went down into the prison, he ministered to all the souls that were in the prison. When Jesus went down into hell, he ministered to those that had been held captive. Joseph ministered in prison until the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and everybody else was able to go free. When Christ died, the Bible said that graves were opened up all over Jerusalem and dead men were seen walking the streets of Jerusalem. When Joseph came up out of prison, he came up out not trying to convince anybody or trying to say, yes, I am somebody. Give me a second chance. No, absolutely not. He came up out of prison a free man. He was a man that was moved immediately into power. He went from being an ex-convict to being a vice president of a foreign country, and he did it just like that. Look at somebody today and tell him, just like that, God can turn it in your favor. You've got loved ones that have been in prison and you've been wondering, God, how are they going to make it? Because the system is set up to destroy them. But in the name of Jesus, I'm here to tell you today that God can put favor on them and turn everything around so fast. If he did it for Joseph, I said, if he did it for Joseph, I said, if he did it for Joseph, he can do it for you and your house. Joseph went from prison to power, just like that. Y'all better hear me today. I said he went from prison to power, and he did it just like that. When Christ rose from the dead, he got up with all power in his hand. So here he was in the prison, in the grave, he was dead, but he got up, and when he got up with the power. It's not that the power came on him once he got up and got out. He got up with it. Look at somebody and tell him, I got up with power today. I got up with power. It doesn't matter where I go. There is a power that is on my life. There is an authority on my life. I can go into IHOP and set people free because there is power. I got up with it. Whew. When Joseph rose up, Joseph married a heathen bride. I said, Joseph married the heathen bride. He was a Jew man, but he married a Gentile woman. And he made that Gentile woman his bride. When Christ got up from the dead, he was a Jew man, but he took a Gentile church and he made that Gentile church his bride. Lord, have mercy. Do y'all see the comparisons today? Let me tell you something. Nothing happens by accident. I said, nothing happens by accident. This, all of these comparisons that I just gave you, it's just a sign that God is a strategist. I said, God is a strategist. He has a plan for your life. I said, he has a plan. There's a reason you are here today hearing me say that God has a plan for your life. There is a reason you've tuned in and you're watching today. God wants you to know that he has a plan for your life. I don't care how bad you mess up. I don't care how bad you blow it. I don't care how bad you are mistreated. I don't care about how many bad mistakes you make. God is a strategist and he works all things together for your good. He was in prison. He didn't know it, but God knew it. The whole time he was in prison, God knew, I'm about to get this boy out of here and I'm about to take him from where he is to a place of power. Joseph didn't know it, but God knew it. I'm going to tell you some things that God knows some things about your life today that you don't know about it. But I guarantee if you'll praise him now, you will thank him later. I said, if you praise him now, you are going to have to thank him later. God knows what door he's just about ready to open. He knows what connection he's about to make. He's about to have your feet in the right place at the right time, meeting the right person to set your life on the path that it needed to be on. God is a strategist. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but at the end of the day, God's will is what takes place.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.